So guys, that's why I'm most excited about this episode, because it's literally the least processed episode we've had, which means like I want it to be the most two-way street.
I really
want you guys to hear you guys, like, I'm like, I, does that make sense? Like I'm sensing something here, but I can't put my finger on it yet. Mm-hmm. Hey guys, welcome to the Real Life Podcast, where we talk about exactly that every single week, real life, which means some episodes might be about a fight we just had, some episodes might be about potty training since we have two toddlers, and some might be about eschatological realism because I love thinking and talking about deep theological things. And maybe we'll talk about all three of those in one episode. But we hope the show feels like hanging out in our living room with us, drinking a cup of coffee as we discuss faith and family and culture and Jesus. Me and my lovely wife, Alyssa, are your hosts, and don't hesitate to hit us up or reach out on social media to say hi or comment on this week's episode. Enjoy. Hey guys, this is Jeff from the future, as I like to say, which means what you're listening to right now is a little disclaimer I'm recording about 2 or 3 weeks after the episode that we recorded that you're about to listen to. And I want to just give a couple quick thoughts and set this up well, because this is what me and Alyssa like to call a dinner table conversation that you're about to hear from us in a minute, which means it's a lot more underdeveloped than our usual podcast. And what I mean by that is, you know, when you're at the dinner table with your friends, that's usually actually for me where I start processing a lot of my ideas and a lot of my thoughts and seeing what my friends think, seeing if they felt the same way. But I don't really have the language for things yet. I haven't gone down the rabbit hole of thinking and processing them or reading about them for months. It's just kind of like something that's more just on my thoughts, but I haven't, they're underdeveloped. So it's kind of fun that I like to, it's kind of like my first stage of defense, if that's what you'd like to say, or if there's another phrase for that, or kind of first time I start thinking about like a new idea or something that kind of I can't put my finger on, but maybe makes me feel a little interesting, or I see something maybe wrong with. And so that's the conversation you're about to listen to. But I wanted to make this disclaimer because of that and it being underdeveloped, I realized re-listening to the episode you're about to listen to, it took us about half the episode to actually get to what I feel like was what I was trying to say. So be mindful of that. And then there was also a couple things where I felt like I said that I was like, oh, that's actually not kind of what I meant. And so I just want to give you guys just the crystallest, clearest kind of, you know, like those little legends and maps where it's like, you know, with different colors and, you know, this inch equals this mile on a map. This is like the legend for the episode you're about to listen to. I'm actually really excited because I the reason I still wanted to publish it, even though it was underdeveloped, is because I really want to hear what you guys think or see if I'm alone in this, where you guys' thoughts are. So the whole episode you're about to listen to is on vulnerability and intimacy and being honest online, oversharing online, where are the boundaries, where are the lines, etc. Now, I just want to make crystal clear that it's easy to conflate what I think we were talking about. And so I just want to make sure you guys know exactly what I'm talking about in the episode you're about to listen to. My heart and kind of the idea I'm processing and everything you're about to listen to, even though I might not say it, I think till halfway through, is specifically talking about vulnerability among leaders, like on stages at churches or influencers, if you want to call them that, or people online. And then also anyone and our own boundaries of sharing really personal things online. And so that's kind of what I'm talking about. And two things I'm not talking about. I'm definitely not saying in this episode to not be vulnerable in your real life, because me and Alyssa say that. Like, that's actually such a gift. And so I think more people need to do that. I think sometimes we actually trade the vulnerability online for the vulnerability we should be having in real life. And then two, I'm also not saying, I think there's actually people that share really personal stuff online really well. And so I'm not talking about them either or those type of things. I feel like there's a lot of people that do a really good job and really encourage me of, they just make me feel not alone, right? They were sharing about a hard day they had, some hard season they went through, something they're going through currently, and you relate, you feel not alone, you feel a part of something bigger and greater. So again, those are the two things I'm not talking about. I'm almost, what I want to hear from you guys, and it'll make sense when you listen to the episode in 1 second, is I'm only really talking about kind of vulnerability that gets leveraged, in my opinion, or used or manipulated for something else in kind of a subtle way. And then kind of also, I think sometimes the skew of like what I like to call curated imperfection of us kind of being a little bit honest of like with our messiness, but it's not really that honest and our life still is really great or something, if that makes sense. So I'm excited for you guys to hear, and I hope this helped and set it up well, and hit us up on Instagram, social media, because I'm really excited for the discussion, I think, on this one, and just to hear if we're alone on this one or if anyone else is sensing similar things. All right, enjoy. What's up, guys? I'm Jeff.
I'm Alyssa.
And welcome back to the Real Life Podcast. We have a special episode for you guys, and that's for two reasons. One, she's back.
I'm here.
The Queen Bee is back.
And I can actually scoot in with the table today.
Guys, last time she was next to me, right to my right, when we recorded a podcast, she was about, how far back would you say?
1.5 weeks from having...
Well, I meant actual inches from the table, because the... you were probably like belly. A solid like foot or two from away from the microphone and table.
It's really nice to like, you know, be close.
I know. We're all nice and cozy.
Yeah.
Guys, we also have another special guest. Her name is Luce the Goose, a.k.a. Lucy Hope Bethke.
She's waking up.
Oh, she's right over here to the right. So, guys,
it's the Real Life. We're doing this at night because that's when we get the longest amount of time, but
totally.
We'll see how it goes.
It's called the Real Life Podcast for a reason, guys, which means we are totally on brand. If she starts crying, and we got to take a little break.
She just opened her eyes for her name, and now she's back
to sleep.
She really
did. When we said it, she opened her eyes, and then she went back to sleep.
She knows.
Guys, she is the sweetest little butterball ever. I love her.
So in love.
Any quick updates you want to give the people before I just jump right into it? Because I got lots.
Well, she's 6 weeks today.
Wow. Which, that's when you listen crazy. To this, might be like, I don't know, maybe 8 or 9 weeks, but yeah.
True. So crazy. Anyway.
Okay, guys.
We're loving it.
We're loving it, but I got thoughts today. I got thoughts. So I just said, you know what? Let's just jump right into it. Doesn't Philip DeFranco say that? He said, let's just jump in. Yeah. Someone on YouTube says it every single time. okay. I'm going to start calling this segment Minority Opinion, because that's exactly what it is. And what I mean by that is I'm not sure everyone will agree with what I'm about to say. And I'm not sure everyone will love what I'm about to say. And this one, on the scale of processing, like I feel like some things I bring to you guys and sometimes we bring to you guys, I've processed out of 10, meaning I've really thought through it. And I've thought through every little detail, etc. This one is something that I just feel like I'm still kind of working through and processing. So I'd put this one at like a 5. So be nice to us if you feel like you disagree. But I'm still processing. And essentially, and this is usually how it starts. Usually how my ideas and my things start. And that's the thing that I feel like I've noticed that I want to talk about is kind of, I think, how our culture is getting a little too fat, for lack of a better term, kind of too bloated, metaphorically speaking, on the idea of vulnerability and authenticity and like messiness. Mm. Does that make sense?
Do you mean our, yes.
Mm-hmm. So what I mean by that, guys...
Even more our generation, I think.
Yeah, totally. Like the Instagram culture. Like, here's what I'm trying to say, guys. Vulnerability, authenticity, and messiness at this point in 2018, in my opinion, has now turned into a brand. Mm. And has now turned into a marketable, again, consumable good that can be monetized and that actually kind of creates value in a person and a personality. So there's a lot of different ways I want to go.
Can you expand on that?
Well, yeah, that's kind of what I want to talk about.
Okay.
But basically, I just think... I think this is true of every good idea and everything that's really good. And I think the cool part is there's a lot of people out there who really, I think because they were maybe tired and sick of everything being curated, everything being perfect, maybe seeing things on the internet and then going, oh, my real life doesn't look like that. So then they kind of responded with kind of like a, you know, hashtag real life, hashtag, you know, this is me.
I mean, this is the Real Life Podcast.
Exactly, exactly. Hashtag, this is kind of... you know, the classic one is like the girl bun, messy, you know, kids all going crazy, food everywhere, mom type one. I do feel like I see it a lot more with women than men.
Yeah, I don't, you know, really see it with men.
I've never
at
seen
all.
Men be like, you know, hashtag messy dad life, you know, hashtag. So that's interesting.
Sorry, it's a good story.
That's interesting there. But yeah. I actually have thoughts there too. So yeah, I don't know exactly, like, I don't know. It's starting to make me a little uneasy. I don't, like I said, I haven't processed this one fully. I just don't know. Like, here's what I'm trying to say, guys. I'm uneasy with it because I feel like you should be vulnerable and you should be, and life is messy. Life is not perfect, but a couple things. One, you shouldn't, like, that shouldn't be your, like, a brand. Two, it shouldn't be a badge of honor, meaning, like, I think we've created it so much so where now, like, the goal is actually just to get there and stay there. Mm. Just get to more vulnerability and authenticity. That's the goal. Mm. Rather than, personally, like, when I'm vulnerable or messy or honest, I feel like the goal is not to stay there. The goal is to be like, this is where I'm at, and like, I want to get out.
I want to grow.
I want to get better. I want to find order. I want to find shalom. I want to find beauty.
That's a good point.
And so I think it's kind of self-terminated and cannibalized on itself, where I think it's also hindering a lot of our personal growth because our standards are kind of being lowered, for lack of a better term, because we just kind of can say, oh, well, this is just hashtag real life. When it's no, that's like, that's hashtag sin. Right, well, depending on what it is.
Not the mustiness of your house.
No, that I'm talking about way. Well, of course not that, guys. I was totally thinking about a different thing when I said that. Of like way down the spectrum, I think is when it's just the like, you know, I love Jesus, but I cuss a little type thing and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And right, and now we can get into the whole language thing and all that. I've actually done a video on that. Is swearing a sin? Go watch that. You'll probably be surprised by what I say. I don't just say that. Yes, these five words are bad. Everything else is great. I don't say that. But I think, yeah, that's part of like, I think way down the spectrum, it's like, no, that's not, you know what I mean? Saying like, sometimes it can be almost an, it's almost turned into an excuse for certain things now, way on the other end of the spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Are you talking mostly just on social media or in general?
Yeah. No, social media. And that, okay, let's get into the first distinction.
So not like when you're at coffee with someone talking.
No. Okay. So that's the first distinction. Thank you for making me clarify.
So you guys can tell, those that are listening, this is like us really processing.
Yeah. And so this is a good clarification. Yeah. I think this is what I'm trying to say. I think most internet vulnerability and authenticity and messiness, in my opinion, is fake vulnerability, authenticity, and messiness. Now, not from their heart. Like, I don't think they're being, I'm just saying, I don't think that's actually the true nature of vulnerability and messiness.
Mm-hmm.
I think that should be at coffee with a friend.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's what I'm trying to say is I think a lot of times we take things to the internet before we take them to real people in real life. That's another way of what I'm trying to say. And I think what that does is that short circuits a lot of growth processes in us. I think it short circuits. You piecing out on me?
No, I'm looking at the quote.
Okay.
Keep talking.
I think it short circuits a lot of growth processes. I think it short circuits a lot of parts in us that it's easier to just share something or overshare online sometimes rather than actually tell someone in our real life. And Andy Crouch has talked about this, guys. He's a brilliant thinker. I love him a lot. He's one of my favorite. And he talks about kind of, sorry, I keep coughing, guys. He kind of says that, yeah, it has, in some sense, vulnerability has almost turned into a like cash good that leaders can use to kind of create like a short circuited authority. Meaning you can get power from vulnerability nowadays. That's what I'm trying to say. And Andy Crouch makes some brilliant arguments here, guys, in his book. I think it's called Strong and Weak. Go check it out, about true power, the nature of power, how Jesus totally changes and inverts that entire picture of what true power is. But in that, he is really, really, it's like you read it and you kind of see it. You're like, oh, like here's what I'm trying to say, guys. There is a version of stage vulnerability, right? Like meaning like it's vulnerability from a stage. It's still like, and which means it's still at a distance. It's like, it's curated. It's shaped, it's guided, it's packaged vulnerability rather than true vulnerability, right? And another way, I was actually reading a really good article the other day from a journalist who was talking about someone online and said, basically used the phrase curated imperfection, meaning like we've almost gotten really good at curating imperfection, and that in and of itself is the like goal, right? We've almost exchanged just like the idealistic life for now just curated imperfection. When it's still curated. And here's what I mean by that, guys. At the end of the day, most of the vulnerable things we share online are not actually even that vulnerable. That's what I'm trying to say.
Mm.
It's like what's really vulnerable is
it's
to
only
have
like on a certain level.
Yeah. Does that make sense? Like it's like what's really vulnerable is to have someone who actually knows you for the last decade in your city, meet with you at coffee, you cry and say, I don't know how I'm gonna get through tomorrow, and there's not really any resolve. There's no like bow wrapped up on it. Mm-hmm. That's true vulnerability.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's true community. That's true because you're actually making yourself vulnerable to another person in accountability. That's what it is. Because true vulnerability, and this is what Andy Crouch argues, has to involve accountability. You have to be you're vulnerable to someone, which then makes you accountable to that person.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning like they can call you to account on that, or like bring it back up 6 months from now, or in a really beautiful, intimate way, because they walk with you. They're your neighbors. They go to church with you. You raise your kids with them, etc. But I think kind of the internet vulnerability, it's like a one-way street, because that's all it can be. Like we're not accountable to people, you know, online. I mean, we are on some level, but I don't mean in the human way. And so, yeah. And so there was even a quote I pulled up from him that says, we think of emotional openness as vulnerability. So he thinks emotional, meaning just being, that's what I'm trying to say. Like fake vulnerability is just being open with our emotions. And he says, but for the powerful, emotional openness is often a source of authority and power grabbing. The most important form of vulnerability for the powerful is when they're accountable. And I just think that's really, really interesting and powerful. So I got lots more and I'm just rambling at this point, but what do you got?
Sorry, can you distinguish for me? So, because in my head, I feel like there's two different kinds of vulnerability that maybe you're talking about. Maybe you already talked about it, but the one is like the real like mom who's like for instance, one time I posted a picture of these burned grilled cheeses and I was like, this is how my day's going.
Totally.
And I just burned the grilled cheese. And so there's like that, like the messy house, yeah, the whatever. And then there's like the vulnerability of like your emotions, like, I don't know, maybe it was in the past or maybe now, like my marriage is really hard or something like that. So can you distinguish or maybe just break it down a little bit more of what you're talking about?
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. We're still processing it. But I think, yeah, I mean, the grilled cheese, like stuff like that, that's funny. And people love that and just saying like, oh, I'm not alone. And oh, their house is messy, yeah, too. And oh, all these things. But I think there's a couple things there, guys. One,
I mean, I don't think that's necessarily real vulnerability. I think it's just the imperfectness that we, yeah, post online. That's, yeah, like, because I think Instagram, it is a lot of like curated and a lot of people, totally, have their businesses. And so they make beautiful photos and,
totally,
like those things. And we can go into that. That's a whole nother, like we can go off on that. But so then sometimes it's refreshing to be like, oh, them too. Like,
totally,
this is what my house looks like right now, totally, too.
And I think that's actually a really great use of social media. And I think a, yeah, really fun kind of lighthearted way. I think it's
sometimes like a breath of grace.
Like, exactly.
Oh, yeah. It's totally okay that my house doesn't look like this. Or even when people post a really beautiful picture because that's their business, they, mm-hmm, can be like, just so you know, the rest of my house looks like, does not look like this. I just did this one little area so I could take this photo.
Yeah.
And so I think that's sometimes refreshing. Like, oh, okay. Like, I don't have to, you know, not that you don't clean your house, but just it's okay that my house is kind of messy right now because I'm not the only one.
Totally. So guys, that's why I'm most excited about this episode, because it's literally the least processed episode we've had, which means like I want it to be the most
like
two-way street.
At the table
I really want you guys to hear you guys. Like, I'm like, I, does that make sense? Like, I'm sensing something here, but I can't put my finger on it yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to make sure you guys are hearing me say that. Like, I don't know on this. I just sense something in this sphere that I'm not sure.
There's definitely, yeah, definitely.
Does that make something sense?
Yes. And I love.
And I'm not saying be silent, not saying be quiet, not saying be like shut off and guarded, not vulnerable. That's not what I'm saying. I hope you guys hear what I'm saying. Go ahead.
Well, I think I was trying to look for the quote, but I couldn't find it. Rebecca Lyons, she did a podcast with Sadie Robertson that was so, so good. If you haven't listened to it, go back on Sadie's and listen to it. But she had just made the distinction. I'm going to probably get it wrong because I couldn't look at find the quote, but the difference between authenticity and vulnerability. Mm-hmm. And I think what it was, if I remember correctly, was authenticity is like when you've already come out of something and you're like you can share about it and you can be really like, this was what happened, this is how God grew me, da da da. And then vulnerability is when you're actually going through it in that moment. And so that's not the stage things. It's not, you know, what you write about and you in your book that you sell. It's like what you walk through with your community or your spouse. Like, this is what we're really going through right now.
Yeah.
And so I love that distinction because, and so this is probably a different route that you want to go on, but I love that distinction because some things in your life, it's so like, we so talk about be vulnerable, be authentic. Like, that's what we should be as people, to break down walls so people feel comfortable and welcome. And I think there's a space to do that online so that people can really know you. But I think there's also needs to be a distinction between some things you just aren't ready to be shared.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you share things that you're walking through with the people that you do life with and those safe people, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you share them online, mm-hmm, or if you're an author or if you do videos or if you write a book or whatever it is, or post it online. Until you've kind of walked through it, because I think that's when you invite, when you're walking through something that is hard or you're grieving or your marriage is struggling or your child is really strong-willed and you're trying to figure out what to do. I think that's where Andy Crouch's, what, mm-hmm, you're talking about comes in. Like, you can't share that online because there's no accountability. There's no, yeah, like, person to really speak into it and really encourage you or pray for you or, you know. And I think that needs to be saved for the beauty of your family and your community, mm-hmm, and your best friend and your mentors And then when you have really walked through it and come out on the other side, then you can make it a lot more public and use that to be a blessing to other people. But because there's no accountability online, a lot of the times it's just not, sometimes it is, but for the most part, I feel like it's just not time to share that. And so yeah. I think maybe that's what we're hitting on too is, so then when you, you know, you're on your phone and you're going through Instagram and you're going through something hard and you want to know that you're not alone, but that's not really the place to go to find that comfort and to find that security or that like camaraderie, because it just doesn't offer the right space for that. And so sometimes I think when we go online, we can come back feeling dissatisfied because people don't, their lives do look so perfect, or it looks like everyone's having a happy day, but it's like you can only post certain things online. And I love Jenny Allen had a something she had posted a long time ago, just how, you know, and it was on this topic, like, you know, people aren't vulnerable with what really is going on in their life online. And so you feel alone. But a lot of times you can't post things either because it's not your story to tell. Like,
yeah, everyone your community could read into it or know who you're talking about, or
yeah, like we walk through hard things, but doesn't necessarily mean like that our marriage is hard or that something's going on with our kids. But maybe my best friend is struggling with a miscarriage or infertility, or you know, your sister's struggling with a divorce, or your family members are walking through cancer. Those aren't necessarily things that you can they're not your
totally.
Things to share. And so I think we just have to realize too that when you go online, we only get glimpses of people's lives and we don't get the whole story. And so we can't protect our hearts when we go on, but also we can't judge people what they're going through either, because we just don't know. And I think our good friend Jenna had talked about, you
know, that's what I was going to talk about
in a sec. Oh, okay. Yeah. So yeah, I just think we only see a teeny bit, a glimpse of someone's story when we go online too. So yeah, I don't know. And I think we forget that because when we're on our phone, we know everything going on in our life, but we only get little glimpses of other people's when we're on.
Yeah. And I have lots of thoughts there. So let me make sure I come back to that. But I think you're right. And that's what I was more trying to say is I think we've just commodified, I think, vulnerability on the internet. Mm-hmm. Meaning like no one's actively doing this of like, oh, I want to feel good or I want this to happen. But I think leaders specifically commoditize vulnerability in some sense. You have to be really like, it's a spirit led thing. Because like Crouch says, it can command actually a certain level of authority. He kind of calls it vulnerability as manipulation. Mm. That's a better way to put it too, right? Like
yeah.
There is times where you can actually be vulnerable to manipulate other people.
Well, even in a relationship.
Even in real life, actually, yeah.
Like I remember one of my boyfriends, I mean, I feel like this is a vulnerability thing, even just saying like, oh, for sure we're going to get married. I love you. I want to be with you, but there's no commitment. And it's like, that's a manipulation because he wasn't ready for totally. That. And yet he's pulling all these strings to totally. Keep me in a relationship. So I feel like in a way that's a vulnerable totally. Manipulation
But I think
too.
It's even kind of like heightened on the internet with yes. leaders and stuff like that of mm-hmm. like vulnerability is almost like a leveraging tool,
mm-hmm.
right? To really create like a really big power imbalance.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a coincidence either where I read an article by a person of color who actually kind of made the argument that, and you can agree with this or disagree with this, but I thought it was interesting and kind of true. Cause I don't like, she kind of made the argument that, you know, the whole like messiness crowd and authenticity and vulnerability crowd, she's like, you really only see one sliver of humanity doing that at a really big level. And it's white women, usually middle class or upper class. And so she was kind of arguing, like she was kind of saying, making the argument, I forget the article, but she was a person of color and saying like, I can't do that. Like it's kind of like people of color, minorities, black women, Asian women, et cetera, sometimes get put in different lights when they're extra vulnerable, right? So there's almost only a freedom that comes with and a privilege that comes with a certain level of financial security and skin color that almost allows you to be vulnerable. That is almost like a cool, trendy thing, but only, does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's a whole nother tangent and you can agree or disagree with it, but I thought, I was like, well, that's really compelling. Yeah, I think, and I think back to what Crouch argues too and talks about, guys, is do we believe, like, guys, we're in the most connected culture in history. So then we have to process and intentionally walk through some of these questions. And some of these questions is, like, we've never been in a culture and a time and a place with technology and with inventions ever in human history where it's been easier to share.
Right.
Where it's been easier to share anything and everything that's ever happened in your entire life.
Mm-hmm.
So do you probably think that it's easier then to overshare than undershare, right? Yeah. Meaning like we have to kind of really check ourselves before we wreck ourselves, yeah. right? And I think that's true. I think like we really like it's, we really have to check ourselves of like, man, it's really easy. Here's another way to put it. Do you believe there is ever, this is a question we all have to wrestle with in our own way, because I don't think this is a black and white formula where if someone shares like this on, like I know people who specifically have shared really hard things and it's been so beautiful and so compelling to people right. on the internet and so helpful and us included. That's like, it's guys, it's a case by case thing. And there's some people that probably maybe do it from a more manipulation standpoint. And it could even be the same thing they're both sharing. Maybe the same even thing they're struggling with. I don't know. So it's really not an issue of like a hard black and white rule. It's a hard issue. It's a spirit-led issue. But do you, we all have to ask ourselves this question. Do we really believe there's anything in our life that should remain in the dark? Mm-hmm. Do we believe there's anything in our life that should remain unseen? And again, one of my favorite kind of ways that Crouch frames it.
With online.
With the internet. I'm only, this whole conversation is about the internet.
Well, I just
this
whole like conversation is about the internet. Because yes. I don't want
you need
people
to be real
to
with your life. You need actually people. Have yeah.
You can't do life alone. You need to have those mentors, totally. Your family.
Yes.
Your
and that's
friends.
What I'm saying. I think we actually short circuit the whole process by trying to find the fake version of that online.
Right.
Rather than actually like real people. And Crouch, I like his framing of like, he talks about true vulnerability, he says, is the ability to bear pain inside yourself that no one will ever see.
Hmm.
Right? Online again, right? Is what I mean. Like it's this ability to kind of like hold on to a burden in a really healthy, beautiful, mature way that you don't like have to go get validated somewhere or whatnot on the internet. And so, and then that's when he kind of talks about those people on stages that kind of use power dynamics and stuff with vulnerability. But so that's just one thought of just like, do we believe there's, and I do think there's, or here's another way to put it, guys. Do you believe that Jesus gets to be first there? That's another way to put it, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe you do. Maybe you can share every detail in your life that's ever happened on the internet. That's fine. But do you believe that Jesus gets the first say?
Right.
Because I think a lot of times we actually short circuit the entire Christian life by something happening to us, the Lord wanting to deal with us in the desert or in the dark or in the unseen, and we immediately take it out to the sunlight, into the internet, right? Mm-hmm. We immediately... And so then what happens is now all of a sudden we're not hearing Jesus's voices, we're hearing 1,000 random voices.
Right.
And that is the definition of like short circuiting, of like sparks flying because the wires got crossed and they're going the wrong way. It's like, no. Like Jesus wants to be the first voice over your vulnerability. Like, that's a good way to put it. Are you vulnerable with the Lord, right? Like, are you vulnerable with him and then other people and then mentors and then true human flesh on flesh people that you can be accountable to? So that's an interesting thing. Now, let's talk about what you were going to say. And I've actually, I think, seen a couple people talk about this in a different way with this metaphor that's really helpful, and our friend included. And I even have some more further thoughts on it. And that's the idea that like, yeah, I think sometimes the, and I do agree, there's a difference between a curated internet person and a person who just doesn't share a ton of like bad stuff, because that wouldn't make sense, right? And what I mean by that is like, yeah, there's some people that share online where you can tell there's a difference between trying to make a moment just to post on Instagram, that's curated. And then your whole feed is just curated versus, it's authentic. It's real. It's really what happened. And you didn't create these moments. Like, you didn't try to recreate these moments, but it's only the highlight reel. It's only the good moments, right? And I think that's totally.
I think all of us land on either one of those, right?
What do you mean? Either two.
Well, I feel like my Instagram feed, everyone I follow lands on one of those. Either it's a business or like that's what they do. So it's all curated.
Yeah, like you're actually trying to make that moment and make that picture.
You know, it's like my friends, and they are normal people with like other businesses or stay-at-home moms, and they post their highlight reel.
Totally. And here's the thing, and this is where I think the minority opinion comes in that I was talking about in the beginning, guys. Like, I think people give that rap such a bad rap. Like everyone's highlight reels, everyone's best days, everyone's this, and like, it's so terrible. And I'm like, that's what the internet is. Like, that's what it is.
That's because most of the time a lot of times, our life, there's stuff that is hard in our life. And a lot of times we go on our phone when we're sad or when we escape or at the end of the day, and we want someone to like understand us and yeah. we want to find some camaraderie there, but everyone is posting their highlight reels. So then totally. That's, I think that's where this whole discussion starts with, where people are like, why don't you be more vulnerable? Yes. Why aren't people more messy? I want to be able to feel relate. Like I'm not the only one.
Yeah.
And I think that's what it's coming back to. And so we're that's looking
coming from a good place.
We're, yeah. which is good, but we need to look to our community for yes. that and to Jesus for not that the internet. Instead of the phone. Like we need to stop and pray and talk with the Lord, or cry on our beds, or pull out our Bibles instead of going to our phone first thing.
Yes. And that's what I think.
And that's where this whole discussion is coming from.
Totally. I think it centers around those questions, those feelings for mm-hmm. sure. And that's what I was trying to say, guys, is I think is, yeah. So we like, I think that just gets such a bad rap of, and people give that such a hard time of like, oh, that's just the, you know, that's just kind of, they look so perfect. They look like they have it all together. Well, of course, because that's, the internet is the highlight reel. Like that's what it literally is.
Yeah.
Right? Like it's not a full 24 hour a day, like live stream, maybe unless you're on Twitch or something like that.
Twitch?
It's like a platform where people live stream their whole life pretty much.
Wow.
I know. it's a highlight reel. And here's the thing, guys. We've always had that in culture and we've been okay with it. We're just really weird about it right now with the internet, and I'll actually tell you why.
Because everybody can see it.
Not only that, it's because we actually are on it. It actually is it's a smoke signal that yeah. reveals we are on it too much.
Yes.
And here's what I mean by this. Okay. So one of the examples I've heard, and from multiple people actually in a different metaphor, and then our friend included, which is really helpful, but then I even want to take it one step farther, is like the family photo book, right? Analogy. Like no one goes home for Christmas or goes to their parents' house, gets out the photo book and opens it up and flips through the pages and goes, hey mom, like, why isn't grandma like, why don't we have any pictures of grandma like throwing up around the toilet drunk?
Ew.
Or like, why don't we have, right? Or like, why
that's
don't,
a little too far, babe.
Or like, no, right? Or why don't we have any pictures of like, you know, when our,
the laundry our, all dirty over your living room.
Yeah. Or why don't we have any pictures of like when our uncle died and we all were really, really sad for months? Like, why don't we have any pictures that totally like represents that sadness and that hard time? Like, right? Whether it's sin, whether it's darkness, whether it's just the right. messiness of everyday life. Those yeah, are the ones yeah. I was trying to hit.
Okay.
I don't think it was too far at all.
Okay. Well, will you explain it?
Yeah. And maybe, you know, grandma's maybe got some, you know, she's, you know, got to get sober or something. But
moving on.
But no one does that with the photo album. You don't go to that and then say, why are these right. pictures not in here? Why do we not have more messiness? Why do we not have more authenticity, mom? Like, why don't we have more pictures of just the messiness of everything? No one does that. Why? Because mm-hmm. it's a photo book of your family meant to point and capture and remember memories that tell stories and kind of allow you to reflect on certain periods of time.
And that usually like really highlights.
To me, totally. It's a highlight reel.
Like vacation.
Totally. And to me, yeah. that's what the internet is. But here's that it was someone, something I've never heard someone talk about that I think totally reveals our hearts in it. And then you go, oh, that's true. So if we know that'd be weird, like to request that from the photo book. Mm-hmm. And yet we do that all the time with the internet. So then why is that? Because we know that the photo book is not real, like it's an accurate picture of life, but it's not the fullness of the life that entire family lived, ups and downs, hardships, sin, right. struggles, failures, messiness, etc. We know that. But what we wouldn't be okay, or imagine this, that's what I was trying to say. We know that because we only go look at the photo book a couple times a year. That's what I'm trying to say, right? Like when you come home for Christmas or when it's a fun moment to look through.
Right.
Imagine if every single morning you woke up and the first thing you did was go look at your photo book and read it all the way through. And then you eat breakfast. And while you're eating breakfast, you look at the photo book all the way through. And then right when you're done with breakfast, you on the drive to work at the stoplight, look at the photo book all the way through. Then at lunch, you take a little break and look at the photo book all the way through. Or you actually should be working, but you're not working, and you actually look down at the photo book all the way through. Like basically, if you just filled all the little gaps in your life mm-hmm. with the photo book, then that, here's the thing, guys, then it's very obvious that would give you an incredibly, incredibly distorted picture of what you think life is for your family mm-hmm. or for the photo book of the family you're reading. And to me, that's like, that's actually what we do. Yeah. We don't realize that, but that's why there's this weirdness of it all, because we do that with our phones. We pull out our phones over 500 times a day. We're on them multiple hours per day. And so we're actually getting an extremely disproportional high level of highlight reels. So of course that is going to feel like, oh, why? Like this does not connect to me. This is not mm-hmm. real life. But you got to remember, guys, that it's not real life. It's the photo book, and you should look at it a couple times per year. Right now, it's an exaggeration, but you know.
Yeah.
And so I think that analogy really helps.
Yeah.
You got any thoughts there?
No, that was good. Let's end on that.
So guys, here's the thing. Like I said, we are processing on this one. Totally, like, I'm just actually interested to hear you guys' thoughts on this one because I hope it came through. I hope the heart of what I'm processing was trying to come through. And here's the thing, guys. And here, we already said it once, but here's the thing. I do think we got to make sure that we're not trying to replace the internet with our real life community.
Yeah.
Right? And that if you don't feel like you have that, understand that the Lord wants that for you and does have that for you. And that involves risk of putting yourself mm-hmm. out there at certain types of places and meeting people and praying and asking him to bring those people into your life mm-hmm. and trusting him and leaning in on family and friends or any place that you would kind of consider a healthy beacon or a healthy kind of anchor for your life. Because you need someone who actually knows the dark parts of your life, not just the curated imperfection. Mm-hmm. You need someone who actually knows the frailties and sin of your life.
With you.
Yeah, the sin of your life, not just the curated imperfection. Mm-hmm. Someone who will walk through it with you. The bad parts, the really depressing parts and parts that sometimes feel hopeless, but then they speak hope into it because mm-hmm. they love you and they're for you. And so, yeah, do we really believe that? And then on top of that, do we really believe that God wants to do a special work in us and with us sometimes in the dark, mm-hmm. sometimes in the unseen? Now, this isn't, please, I want to make sure we disclaim this as much as possible. We're not talking about people that already are on the spectrum and struggling with anxiety, depression, isolation, etc. That's a whole nether conversation.
And you're talking about online.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. The internet.
Unseen there, but still being seen by
totally. He wants to do a special work in you mm-hmm. in the quiet. Maybe that's another way to put it. Maybe in the quiet. I don't know. Any other final thoughts you would have there?
No, I think that's good. I think we wrapped it all up.
Okay, guys. I think I'm most excited to hear you guys' thoughts on this one than I've ever heard on podcast because I feel like this is the dinner table talk.
Well, I will say.
This was a dinner table talk.
Well, I will say, going back to Rebecca Lyons' thing, I think then once you have walked through that and, you know, in the quiet with your community and you've come to the other side, if you come to that side, then you can post more about it and you can put a post and say,
yes,
this is your story. And I think that will actually bring hope to people because they can say, wow, I'm not alone. They have walked through that, but look at what God has done or look at what they've learned or look at. And so then I think it is a real redemption story that you can share publicly in that sphere that does bring hope and that is really authentic. So I think it's just, and you know, like you said, like we are the first people that have like everything online and that are on Instagram all the time. And that, so we're all learning this and things are starting to be seen and it's like, oh, this isn't healthy. How do we do this? Let's just, you know, check ourselves or process things or how do we handle the internet? You know, God has given it to us. How do we display it for his glory? And there's wisdom, and I think we're just all learning that.
Totally.
Because it's new.
Totally. And everyone has a story, and stories deserve to be told. Right. Vulnerability of connection points are helpful, and relationship and being understood and feeling like you're not alone. There's so many like kind of crossed things here of like that are helpful. And so it's really a wisdom issue, a spirit issue that you have to we all have to personally go on a journey of. Because like I said, I know people who have gone through the exact same thing. And I would probably maybe say like, that one was so inspirational and helpful and hopeful to people and needed. And I'm so glad they shared that. And some people I'm like, oh, they maybe should have kept that one in the dark, you know, and like walked through it with their own offline. Right. They should have walked through the offline mm-hmm. with their church or with their community. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But it's the same thing. So it really has nothing to do with the exact behavior.
And checking your motivation, I think.
Totally. I think it's a pendulum thing, guys, where I think we were so only saw perfect mm-hmm. online.
Right.
So then now we've created imperfection as a brand. And I think that's mm-hmm. just as bad. I think that's just as wrong. Because people aren't brands, right? Our emotions and our lives and our vulnerabilities are not brands. Mm-hmm. We're people, we're humans, and we're meant to live real life, in real life, with people, with the internet being a beautiful and incredible and amazing supplemental tool that's not the focus of our entire lives. Mm-hmm. It's a photo book that sits on the shelf that you can read sometimes and hear other inspirational stories, be blessed by people, be encouraged by people's vulnerability. But you should not pick up the photo book every 5 seconds during your day and try to get the picture of what life is from that, or for that to be your North Star and your guiding principle. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. All right, guys, I'm excited to hear from you guys on this one. Please let us know. I'm a little scared, but excited to hear from you guys. And we love you guys. We'll talk to you next week.
Speaking of messy.
Touché, touché.